truth.
I'm Jim Price, Jim Price Show Daily Update. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It is April. I go with April. We're going to call that the month, which has an odd amount of days in it every single month, so it's just a made-up number. April 29th, it's a Monday, 2024. Well, guys, thank you so much for being here. We've had the Pedo-in-Chief really on tour lately. He's really been out there pressing the flesh and getting out there like never before. Not like the 4 years ago where we never seemed to have heard from this individual and he suddenly just found himself Presidente. So, yeah, that's a cool little practice we're pulling off there. So as that's going on, we do find out that the continuation of the lies that have been going on are not getting any better, and it tends to really push us in the wrong direction. So we have to be careful about making sure that we don't go running down the emotional roller coaster that they are trying to keep you guys on while they talk about these the kind of made up things. It doesn't matter. We make it up as we go along, right? It's like the date and the time. We can change the time every fall and winter or fall and spring. Why not just, you know, make up whatever I did yesterday? By the way, yesterday I flew an SR-22 around the globe 3 times and still made it home for lunch. I mean, makes as much sense as changing time every spring and fall. But anyway, that's what we do. All right, guys. I do have a special guest who's going to come on here. I don't know if he's ever done TV and radio before, but he's going to be here in I got to tune him up. I can't bring him on just yet. I can't just like wildly say, hey, you know, put your pretty face on my show here. Let's see. Here we go. Get him tuned up. He's got a great mugshot. Doesn't look like he's in prison at all. There he is. Sir, how are you, Seth? It's good to see you, sir. Thank you so much for being here. Let me get myself tuned up as well. Seth, you want to introduce everybody what your job is?
Yeah, and thank you for having me on, Jim. I really appreciate the chance. First time on radio, so it's pretty cool.
Very good. That's great. So yeah, we go out on so this is live now on all the social media platforms, but we go out on TV and radio later. So cool. That'll be your chance. All right, Seth. Well, tell these fine people. It looks like you're in Guantanamo Bay or something. Are you no, I'm just kidding.
studio apartment in New York, so pretty close. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is another hell from Earth. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I had a great uncle that lived there. He just passed last year. I don't understand the big city. I live in Kansas, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to stack everybody on top of you. That just doesn't feel good. So anyway, all right, Seth, nothing about you beating on you. By the way, that's going to make me ask you a couple questions about how did you come up with your product? I guess you got to introduce yourself on that. You got to tell people what you do.
Yeah, my pleasure. So my name's Seth. I am one of the co-founders of Masa Chips and Ancient Crunch. Masa Chips is a tortilla chip, which is made with no seed oils. So seed oil free, good for you. We use grass-fed, grass-finished beef tallow instead of canola oil or anything else that's going to be inflammatory. And so our mission is to basically go through your pantry and take all the shit that was made industrially, rip it out, replace it with real foods that your great-grandparents would have made, you know, when they were cooking for themselves.
The way it should have been made. I mean, that's why we should just make it, right?
Make traditional methods using real ingredients, nothing invented in the 20th century, and just make it easier for people to eat the way they might want to.
Yeah. So. Well, now think about that. You had to go back and reinvent what we had been doing since the dawn of time, which was using nutrient-based cooking materials. Yeah. So tallow, I don't know if people know what tallow is, but tallow is super nutrient. That's what the Sherpas use to get to the top of the highest point on Earth. There's a lot of benefits to this. If you don't know what tallow is, get in it. So I talk to you guys about this. Butter, lard, or tallow. I don't care which one you're using, but use one of the three. You're going to be far ahead. Now, quick question for you. You're in New York City, which seems a little industrialized. How did you come up with I want to do chips the way they're supposed to be made? How did you come up with that in New York?
So my business partner, Steven, is really the genius behind the product. I'm more his friend helping build the business, to be really direct about it. Our cute little founding story. So we've been friends for almost a decade now, just group chats, sharing memes, that kind of thing. And we were in Miami for a New Year's trip in 2022, so a couple of years ago. And I'm hungover in this Airbnb eating Tostitos, pure junk food, nutritionless, made with canola oil, junk seed oils. And he grew up very differently. He was a little kind of fragile as a guy, as a kid. And so he was very careful about what he put in his body. He was early on the seed oil concept. He's a big follower of Weston Price, if you happen to have read up on him. Very, very intentional about only eating real foods, only wearing real fabrics, using real soaps and cleaners, the whole nine yards. And so he starts making fun of me for eating Tostitos, which, fair call. And like a lot of young guys, that conversation turned into, let's start a business. And so a few months later, we had some product. He got some tortillas, said beef tallow is the perfect frying oil for tortilla chips, made a package that we thought was beautiful and kind of exemplified the quality of ingredients we're putting out into the world, put it on Instagram. And at this point, it was a side project. We both had full-time jobs. He was working in software engineering at Facebook. I was in private equity. And put the product on Facebook, on Instagram, sold out immediately. And we're like, cool, that's pretty neat. And we made more product, sold out again. He quit his job, I quit mine. And now we employ 25 people full time, and we're selling 30, 40,000 units a month.
Well, now, so when you started doing this, did you go, I mean, is this a process that you guys mastered, or do you guys use a third party processor?
We do our own manufacturing. So, in general, food in the US is really a marketing business. So what you interface with is usually a marketing company, and behind them is what's called a contract manufacturer. So it's a food factory making product, putting the sticker on for the brand you think you're buying from, and they're, on shelf and selling the product. We wanted to do that. I mean, that's standard how you build a food business is you're really a marketing business, you find a factory. Speaking of reinventing the past, we didn't find a single co-man willing to work with us. So food factories in the US refuse to use animal fat to cook foods. They only use seed oils. And we were willing to pay extra, go through the whole nine yards. Like, we were really accommodating. We talked to about 200 manufacturers in the country, and we couldn't find any. And so as a result of that, we had to build our own factory, which has been a cool journey. It's kind of fun, but definitely a big headache in a lot of ways. And we're now actually gearing up to build. We have like a bubblegum and duct tape version in New Jersey right now. And we're actually gearing up to build a proper factory that would open in 2026. So hugely time, very arduous. You have to raise millions of dollars. But that's what it takes to make real food.
Well, and think about that. You're acting like you're inventing, rocket propulsion or getting to Mars in 3 seconds. You're like, oh, I have to develop this whole process. But all you're doing is just cooking it the way grandma did. I mean, I don't, and we're not talking like grandma 1,000 years ago. This is 20, 30 years ago. I mean, we're not, but the sad part is Crisco did a great job. They did a great job in marketing. Betty Crocker put Crisco in all of her books. Everybody looked for Crisco on the shelf, and they didn't realize they were just putting plastic in their body. And we wonder why the uptick of cardiac arrest, vascular problems, and I tell everybody this is what, and I have really, because I'm a big on the health stuff, and I push back on, you're not fat, you're inflamed. And if everybody starts learning that you are have inflammation, it's not fat. You're not a fat ass. You are inflamed because your body is trying to encapsulate the toxins so it doesn't affect the rest of your body. And it just keeps doing that and doing that and doing that and doing that. You're like, oh, I'm gonna get my fat sucked out. You're getting your inflammation sucked out. There's a lot more to that than we realize. But now when we're talking about all this stuff, I mean, we're talking about you having to build an entire factory to go do this, which is again breathtaking that think that you have to go that far. Are you when you started going into the tallow portion of it? Were the producers of tallow kind of relief that they got a steady, genuine partner for a while?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of trouble finding one, and at one point we thought we were gonna have to build our own ranch too, just to get decent quality tallow. I mean, most of the tallow is grain fed corn, soy, something, and that's trash you're getting right back in your body anyway, and all the glyphosate and everything that's coming with all that stuff too. So we, as part of the philosophy, do only grass fed, grass finished tallow, and when you get that, intentional about what you're buying, there aren't that many producers. We found one producer in Canada that we were working with for a little bit. And then we managed to change over to a different producer in the Midwest. And I think we are their only customer right now for grass-fed, grass-finished. I mean, they sell mostly to cosmetics, pharmaceuticals. I mean, there's just like no food companies really today making good use of tallow, and especially high quality tallow, without all the inflammation buried in it.
Well, and think about that. You have to, I mean, again, it's like you're having to sneak around. You can't just like, hey man, we're just gonna go do some cool chips, get some tallow off the shelf. It's like you have to go around and then find these special sources, which makes it sounds like that this is almost, is it because we've become so used to going to seed oils and the vegetable oils that this now seems like the oddity? Is it because we've been trained so well on that? Or do you feel like there's truly an agenda put in behind why we're pushing to seed oils?
So, I mean, seed oils are cheaper, and I think there's always people who are happy to make money selling you cheap crap to put in your body, especially making addictive crap that you eat a lot of. So that's an angle of it. But also, we've definitely found this. I think there's a vegan thing where people have come accepted that vegan is somehow default good, and that meat consumption, animal consumption, real food consumption is somehow default bad. And so we've leaned in pretty explicitly. Like, we have a little logo on the bag. It's not suitable for vegetarians, which is one that's a dietary claim, like you're a vegetarian, you shouldn't eat tallow, but also a little bit of a cultural statement of kind of recognizing, like, there is this premise, I think, in the US broadly, that eating animal products is somehow morally bad. And I think that has become an overarching, without fully being fully recognized, theme in how people think and do business.
Well, I think that one line from Yellowstone when he was interacting with the protesters who had ripped their clothes off and poured blood or were paint on themselves and was protesting animal cruelty. And Kevin Costner's character, he asked the lady, and he goes, you sit there and you say, how cute does your food have to be? When you're out there plowing down these fields for soybean and grains and all these other things, you're killing every single thing in the ground, including other things that would have lived in that same habitat. But the cows work with the environment, and in place of that, they also help cycle the seeds and other things like that. And he's like, how cute does the animal have to be for you willing to save it? And I think that that's a big lesson right there that we all forget what. We've the our entire existence had nothing to do with a factory up until, really with our food up until 30 to 50 years ago, and we'd had no business being in the factory food business. But now, convenience and other things like that, we've rushed to it, and again, it's out of convenience. So everybody's in such a hurry, but it sounds like we're more in a hurry to die because we're putting all the wrong stuff in us.
And when I was a kid, even, I remember the idea of eating healthy was kind of dramatized and weird and a little fringe. And I think somehow, which is crazy to me, quality of life is all about being healthy and treating your body well and make sure you just function well as a body. And it's like rediscovering that we have bodies that you should take care of and feed right, and that drinking like Mountain Dew and whatever crap, is poisoning you and killing you. It's just a baffling thing to watch.
No, it absolutely is. I was when I started the radio show back in 2018, I would sit down with two Mountain Dews to purposely buy them at the Quick Trip on the way to the radio station, and sit down. I'd have them, just so I'd drink them, and a part of it was kind of energy, but it was what I always drank, right? I was, but I was on. I tell you, sad part of it was in high school I was a Mountain Dew, but then I went to Diet Pepsi, and I drank that for probably 2 decades or more, and I'm terrified to what that's done to my brain long term.
Totally.
That's not a good thing there. With what we've decided we've been able to put in our body. Now that I've okay, so this is me. I've got my copper. I call it my copper vessel. I drink alkaline water that's hydrogenated, and I put it in here in copper. And now that I've been doing this and then this process of water drinking, I had some soda the other day, and I don't know how people drink it. It is absolute. Once you get away from it and you really clean your body out from it, and I'm not a hippy dippy guy, by the way. I have long hair, and this is only because it works, not because I was a DOD contractor for almost 18 years. I, Mr. Clean yeah. Cut, played it by the book, got ran over by the establishment, decided to do this instead. But anyway, I better living kit through chemistry guy, you know, give me a pill, doc, give me a whatever. And about 8 years ago, started about 10 years ago, but 8 years ago, really got on it, started working my way through, you know, getting on iodine, getting through, you know, working with tart cherry, working with all these other things. And as I built into this, I got rid of soda. Probably I'm probably over a year now, probably about a year and a half into really, like, I drink a soda every now and again, like I'll take a sip of something, but like really the amount of consumption last year and a half, almost zero. And yep. every time I go back to it, it's just like, and I can't handle the fuzz, the carbonation, the CO2 that we're trying to eliminate. Remember, we're trying to get rid of CO2. So, you know, but we put that in our sodas and our champagnes and our commercially produced beers like Coors and Budweiser and Stella. They put CO2 in there. So that means they produce it to put it in there, but we're trying to eliminate it in our atmosphere. I don't know. You get this. It's just crazy. So,
yeah. The other weird thing, I grew up eating plenty of junk. And when I was a kid, I thought of carrots as like a really hearty, like savory kind of vegetable. Mm-hmm. And I was cooking the other day and I realized, like, carrots are really sweet, actually. But the standard American diet, you eat so much sugar that natural sugars like carrots almost taste like a savory food. And it's crazy how much your palate just gets wrecked by all the chemicals and sugar they dump into everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, every time that gets touched, right? They touch it. Just like this, e-pill thing that... what's his face? Bill Gates came out with that's on all the Amazon food. It's a spray they put in on the oranges and apples and grapes and all this other stuff. It's called E-pill or something.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll save them like a penny per apple and give you cancer.
This stuff is absolutely. You look it up. It's absolute. It's like stuff you would. It's a preservative. So yeah. when you're looking at that, just like citric acid or folic acid or whatever it is that they put in all the cereals, it's a type of preservative that keeps the cereal fresh while it carries the glyphosate to your pelvis and cause you to be sterile and have other dysfunctions as well. Glyphosate poisoning is a huge problem for us right now. I think it's autism. I think all depression, bipolarism, all that stuff is tied to that.
Yeah. There's with all the Ozempic stuff, there's stories about fertility popping back up. And part of me wonders if people are just like not sitting there eating glyphosate all night long and that's helping just get bodies working again. I don't know. It's a crazy thing that we allow it in how food's made here.
Yeah. Well, and they do it in the food industry side, they use glyphosate. When they harvest the oats, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a steel cut oat, they say, oh, you know, make sure it's this process, that process. When it's in the storage facilities and when they're transporting it, they use glyphosate. They mist it across to keep the mold off of it. Same thing they do with a lot of your, they put it in a lot of different foods that we don't realize that keeping mold out of foods like your peanut butters and things like that, there's horrible glyphosates in those. I love peanut butter. I think peanuts are great, but the goons are good for you, except for when they spray them with the glyphosate, and then that glyphosate's a forever chemical. It never goes away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
So what are you doing on your stuff to, like, now you're going through all the process with the tallow. What are you doing about the corn side of it? How are you working with that on trying to keep that natural?
Yeah. So we do heirloom corn, all organic, no glyphosate, nothing. It's a little bit more expensive, but our general philosophy is just do it right. And people will come and people appreciate it.
Yeah.
So right now we buy tortillas from a manufacturer in Massachusetts, locally grown, really, really high quality corn.
Right.
And then the grass for the cows, obviously, is pesticide free because grass doesn't go bad, or, you know, you don't have to worry about it. So, our product is totally free of pesticides and everything outside of whatever residues in the air that you just can't escape.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to bring to your attention is over on TikTok, Carbon Cowboys. I don't know if you've heard of these guys or not, and what they're doing. They're doing rotational grazing.
Oh yeah,
right. And so they're doing no pesticides, no herbicides, and no fertilizers. And so the way that they're doing it is they're doing the hyper grazing in certain areas to mash the things down, but eat certain things, and they move them every day. And they're finding that there's this, maybe you know this, there's a quality of beef test that these carbon cowboys, the guys are doing the regenerative feeding, the feedstock, that they're like 30, 40% better meat than what we're finding in the, like at Walmart or Kroger's. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that in particular, but I know there's a lot of differences in how the animal ends up functioning, right? If you're in a rest of the natural environment, eating real food, you're going to be better. The cows are the same way.
Yeah.
And so it makes total sense that that they're going to be their healthiest self in their environment.
Perfect. Hey, real quick, we've been talking about this for about 21 minutes here. What's the website? How do we find you guys?
The website is massachips.com. So massachips.com. And that's the easiest way to find the product.
Masa Chips, is that cheap yet? Say, do it again one more time. I'm putting in the chat here.
Yeah, massachips.com.
Yeah. All right, very good. Masa Chips.
Yeah, that's so simple.
So for you guys, what do you guys are you guys gonna be doing? Yeah, you guys just do straight corn chips, right? Sea salt or Celtic salt, or what are you guys doing on that?
Yeah, so we use Redmond sea salt, which is from Utah. So there's a seabed there that's pure sea salt, no microplastics from the ocean. So the salt is the highest quality we could find. And then we also have a few flavors. So we have lime, which is just organic lime. So we freeze dry and then powderize and use that for the lime flavoring. Mm-hmm. We have a spicy flavor, which same philosophy with a bunch of spices from a really high quality vendor we found called Burlap and Barrel. And then we're going to launch a churro product, next month, which is pretty exciting. So same chip, just, cinnamon sugar. And then we're gonna do blue corn probably this summer. So kind of rolling out all the fan favorites and the things you might expect for a tortilla chip.
Right.
The bigger vision for the business, and the Masa Chips
is awesome. Where the economy got so bad.
Sorry.
So Masa Chips is the product, but the business is Ancient Crunch. And so the vision for the business is to really take on Frito-Lay and give you your favorite snack options, because you're going to eat them, right? Like people want what they want.
Right.
Make it available for people with real ingredients and real food. And so we'll go, Masa is really anchored against Tostitos and Doritos. We're going to launch a potato chip, a cheese cracker, a pretzel, cookie, granola, all the stuff that people are eating today, but with real ingredients they can trust. And so we're going to have a potato chip coming out probably July or so, which we're really excited about. Also, grass-fed, grass-finished beef tallow, organic potatoes, same ingredient philosophy, and really just go through the Frito-Lay portfolio and make everything that you might want from them available with ingredients you actually feel good eating.
Right. Well, I'm going to have to get my affiliate code finished with you guys so we can guys start ordering from you guys instead of doing others and other people. I mean, this is stuff that people are going to eat every day, so I might as well get an affiliate code for it. So for when you're doing this stuff, is this do you have to work with how long these chips stay fresh or taste, or is there any issues with that? I mean, what people expect?
Real food goes bad. Right. Like, I think we've gotten acclimated to food that you leave in your pantry for a decade and it's still somehow edible. It never was edible, obviously.
Right.
Real food is organic and you eventually it will go bad. Mm-hmm. And so one of the challenges we've had is Masa has a 120-day shelf life, which works. You know, that's time to ship it out, put it on shelf, have people buy it, take it home.
Right.
But for a lot of what people are used to on snacks and grocery stores, it's like a 2-year or longer lifespan. And they're actually products that have a fake expiration date. They actually are good for longer than that.
Yeah.
But it's put on to make you think it's real food, because then you think it eventually goes bad, even though it doesn't.
Yeah.
And everyone has seen the pictures, right, of the McDonald's burger and fries. It looks fresh 20 years later.
Right.
So it's a weird dynamic. Fortunately for us, I mean, it flies off the shelves. Like we just got into a new grocery store in New York called Citarella. Mm-hmm. And our first order was supposed to last them like a month. I think it lasted 5 days, and
Wow.
they ripped through it.
That's
So I got
great.
a, like a panicked call earlier today to get more product. But yeah, kind of a fun, it's cool. So yeah, fortunately, I think the product is so hot and people are so desperate for real food that, our shelf life is, it works,
Well, it sounds like you're going to have to put in a couple different locations across the country to keep your shipping and distribution to a minimum. So that's what the, remember Nabisco, I don't know if everybody knows what, realize that North American cracker company, Nabisco, that was a conglomeration of, basically they came up with a recipe for a cracker and said, hey, will you make these in your things, make it, selling it under these brands. And so the bakeries took it on because it gave them extra business, but it was end up being a nationwide product, but they had different facilities that would help them. It sounds kind of like, though, we have to go back and reinvent the wheel. Something I don't know. Do you know about the history behind McDonald's and tallow? Do you know how they switched that?
A little bit. Yeah, they were using tallow. We actually get our tallow from the same guys that were servicing McDonald's back in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I mean, their story's crazy. There's a guy who got a, he had a heart attack. He blamed it on the tallow and the fries at McDonald's. Went, goes on a national campaign, I think spends all of his money trying to end it. I think he meant well. I don't think the guy was malicious necessarily, but ends up putting seed oils into the American diet way more aggressively, ramping up obesity, all the inflammation, all the health issues. And so, yeah, I mean, McDonald's fries, I mean, one, they were way better from what I've heard. They also turned them into poison. It's like a heat-seeking missile. There was a cool video from, Carnivore MD. Man, he was talking the other day about how the carcinogenic chemicals in a small McDonald's fries are more impactful than a full pack of cigarettes. And so you're thinking, like, you're going for lunch and you're chain smoking, right? It's crazy what they've done to food.
Well, imagine that though. So when I was there, I started working there. I turned six, the day I turned 16 was my first day at work at McDonald's. Worked my way up to crew trainer and then went over to a shift manager at Taco Bell. But we always did everything with lard. I remember the boxes of lard. They had a blue plastic. They were in a cardboard box, blue plastic. One of the things you did as McDonald's, you trained on every station, and one of them was filtering the grease. And so we would put baking soda in the vats. So we would put baking soda in there. The baking soda would collect to the solids, and it would clarify the lard we were using. And then we would just filter it back, put it back in, add new lard. And you always had fresh lard because the baking soda took all that out of there. But we don't even think about things like that anymore. We don't think of it that way. It used to be amazing to, the food was better back in that day, but obviously, and this whole thing with the vegetable oil, vegetable makes it sound healthy, but the vegetable that they're taking it from is not a really a vegetable. It's actually a seed. And then it's done. The moment they press it, it is already toxic to your body because it already superheats it in the manufacturing process. And then they put deodorants in it. The reason that your Crisco oil or your canola oil goes bad is because the deodorant wore out. It's still to it was always toxic. It always smelled that way. But the reason you're able to smell it, like, oh, this stuff's gone bad, is because the deodorant quit working. That in itself is like, okay, come on, guys, we got to do better than that.
Yeah, and I remember learning the food pyramid, and they talk about fat and protein and carbs. They talk about grains and vegetables and meat and whatever, but they don't really differentiate in where that fat's coming from or where the meat's coming from or any of the stuff. And so you think you're having a healthy diet, you have color on your plate and all that kind of stuff, and then all of it's fried in Crisco, and you have just pure poison coating everything. It's
Well, and see, I've talked about that on the show quite a bit, is that we leafy greens, the stuff that we need lettuce and everything. It's actually has late was it laterals in it? Is it not laterals? No, laterals is the good stuff. B17 laterals good for fighting cancers, apricot seeds. Is it lignin? Anyway, there's a toxin in leafy greens that when you ingest it, it causes inflammation. And so people are over here like, I ate a salad and I'm going to be thin. It's like, no, you're going to be fat because you're going to be inflamed. It's like we've really got all this messaging backwards. And I think we have to we ha do we can we blame it on the AMA and advertising, or was it the advertising before the AMA adapted to it? Because I mean, it sounds like the AMA fell for the advertising, or they were in cahoots with each other or something, because they've all advertised the wrong stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when there's money behind it, people will find a way to convince you of whatever. I think a good rule of thumb is to figure out where in nature has nature provided you calories in exchange for you doing something for nature, right? So fruit, if you're eating fruit, the transaction is you're going to eat some seeds, you're going to move those seeds and put them out somewhere else. And so that fruit is a fair transaction to convince you to move that seed somewhere. You look at leaves, like why the hell would nature want you to eat leaves? There's no that doesn't compute, right? And so when you're thinking through like what organic structures are being made for you to consume and what are you forcing that really doesn't make sense, you're probably not acclimated for it biologically. Nature didn't ever want you to be eating it. It's a pretty good rule of thumb for what you should and shouldn't be eating.
Well, and that's I see, that's why I asked you about the corn, because I wanted to ask you this, the question, because no, people don't know about BHA that's in the corn that is toxic to bugs. When they eat the corn, it blows up their stomach. But BHA is also transferred into us through high fructose corn syrup. And I was going to add, that's why I wanted to know, what corn are you using? Because if I'm going to go get tallow grease, which is great, and then I turn around and eat, this BHA, or yeah, that's right, BHA, is that right?
Think so.
Is the acronym for the gene they changed inside of corn. And I used to eat that stuff by the bags. I was, constantly, oh, corn, yeah, let's have corn for dinner. Let's do this, let's do that. Thinking you're doing all these great things for roughage and nutrition, and I'm going to be a better human being, and to find out you're just literally killing yourself.
It's unfortunate that we can't just trust the food when you go into a grocery store. Now, it'd be great if you could just walk in and trust that the people you're dealing with aren't, being paid to kill you, basically. But that's the world we live in. And it's crazy. You look at pictures of 50, 100 years ago, and obesity just basically doesn't exist, with exception, right? I'm sure you can find a picture of the fattest man in the world or whatever. But I mean, you look at pictures from 1970, 1950, 1930. And people are just naturally basically fit. I think the average adult male in America was like 150 pounds or something. And today it'd be a shocking statistic. I mean, like no one, right? It just when you're eating real food, your body regulates and you eat what you should and you feel good and you stay fit. And when you're eating inflammation poison, you're just going to keep eating and you're going to blow up.
So what are the things you, so you said you got the flavor chips, and then you're going to be working on some other stuff. What other things are you have in mind? You said you had some other products you're working on. What do you got? What else is on the development side?
So the next product up is a potato chip, which makes sense, fill in the pantry. So we'll have a potato chip, thick cut, really, really good. It's in R&D right now. We're really happy with it. And that should be available in July. So that'll be our 2-year anniversary, which we're kind of cute. We're excited about. After that, probably like a Cheez-It lookalike. So cheese cracker, just with real cheese, real butter, real wheat, all the ingredients that you can actually trust. And we'll go through the Frito-Lay portfolio basically and make it so that if you want your pantry to be poison-free and have real foods to eat when you want a snack, because snacks are fun, just make sure that those are available for you for whatever snack you're in the mood for.
I've got a big event coming up on the 10th and 11th in Ohio. It's a prepper event. I'm emceeing the program for Scott McKay, Patriot Street Fighter. I don't know, maybe you guys might want to show up.
That could be cool. Yeah, definitely love sending product. If I don't know, the timing is a little bit tight, but I can get some chips shipped out probably pretty quick.
Let's see what we can come up with. We'll text about that. Hey, I'm gonna do a this is all rights reserved, jimpriceshow.com, whatever I'm gonna say next is belongs to me and not to that guy over there. How about popcorn? I mean, everybody's buying bags of popcorn anyway. Why wouldn't you want to put it? Why couldn't we? You guys just slip right over into heirloom popcorn.
Yeah, I think that's an option.
I mean, everybody's eating the. I mean, I see people buying it by the case. Like, it's popcorn, guys. You can make this at home, but people are so used to that grab and go effect, right? So, but if you're going to do heirloom corn, right? And then you already got the seasoning figured out with the chips, I mean, that doesn't seem like a too far of a reach. Allrightsreserved.com. Jim Price owns that side. Just kidding. No, take it and run with it, man. Make people healthy. I don't care. I don't care if you make $1 bazillion tomorrow from that idea. I want people healthy. And that's what this whole thing has to be, a fight to keep us alive. And I think for me, I use the word establishment because we all understand that there's a bigger, there's an entity out there that we obviously don't know that's doing things. But if we live long and happy, that screws up their plan. And I don't care who you're talking about on the other side of whatever, you know, we live long and happy. That doesn't make them happy. I mean, we think about all the stuff that you if you lived in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, are you in the city or are you kind of?
I'm in the city. Yeah. I'm in the Upper East Side.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the area. Wow. So good job for you sticking around that. That had to be hard on the soul for a while, don't you think?
I mean, for sure. I think it's a funky position. I mean, I grew up in Jersey, factories in Jersey, so like in the area. And then for me personally, like a lot of my job, because of how much money we need to go build a business, is fundraising and finding capital and all that kind of stuff. And so the nature of the business still is, you know, New York makes life a lot easier. And I think living somewhere with cleaner air and better water, where you might like your neighbors a little bit more, honestly, it's a really hard place to build this kind of business still, and it's a painful dilemma.
Yeah, I could see that. I just think about all the distractions you have. There's a lot of things going on in that area. So for you guys, we got about 15, 20 minutes left here. Give us some stories. Tell us about something there. I mean, you know, this is your commercial, I suppose, supposedly saying here. You tell us what you want us to hear and give us some anecdotes or things that are coming along for you.
Yeah, it's been a really cool journey in general. So a little bit more about my background, did a business program for undergrad, worked in consulting private equity. So very, you know, suit and tie kind of corporate stuff. And one of the kind of dark things about working in private equity is that you're often looking for a sucker to transact with, because if you built a business, right, you, your father, your grandfather, whatever, and you guys have been running it for 100 years and you decide it's time to go sell. If I think that you don't know what you're doing, for me, that's opportunity, right? Because a lot of how you make money, and this is true for buying a house you're going to flip in your neighborhood, all the way up to buying a business for $100 million.
Right.
Part of how you make money is you buy it right, right? You have to get a good price on it and everything.
Right.
And so one of the darker things about private equity is you're looking for people who don't know what they have, where you can really get their company for a lot less than what's fair.
Right.
And so idiots end up being actually great business partners in a weird way. The nice thing about building a real business where we're selling a real product to people and, you know, it's nothing like funky finance stuff, is that I'm constantly looking for talented people who can help me with whatever I need. And so one big learning, I think, about business in general is that there is a 1,000 people, 10,000 people that have to be competent and be available to help you do what you need to go build your business.
Mm-hmm.
We have marketing spend, we have manufacturing stuff, we have fundraising, we have whatever else. And every time I meet someone who is competent, that's one step further along the path to go build out the business and create something.
Yeah.
And if they're not competent, I'm screwed, right? I can't get anything done. And so it's a really nice change in orientation, where I'm constantly looking now for people who just like know what's going on and go make things happen.
Right.
Another cool thing that's kind of come up, just spitballing anecdotes, we were at an investor conference in California, in a town called Ojai, little, you know, cliffside, beautiful, whatever. And the keynote speaker, Bill Weiland, who's a huge name in natural foods, and actually I think could be a great fit for you, a really cool guest for the show.
Yeah, definitely. Send him my way.
Yeah. So Bill built Presence Marketing, which is a food distributor that's done probably like the mover in making natural foods available in the U.S. over the last 30 years. And he gets up to give the keynote speech talking about all the trends in food in the U.S. and how things are moving. A couple of things that came up were, you know, fake meat, Beyond Meat, whatever cancer stuff that is, like that's on the way out. People get it. They're out. They're not interested. Regenerative agriculture is on the way up, and mm-hmm. animal-based products in general are on the way up. And really cool moment for me and Steven. Keep in mind, this is an investor conference, right? So like, a lot of investors here considering where they're going to give money. And there's maybe 20, 30 founders all trying to get cash for their business.
Right.
And, you know, Bill's in the middle of a speech. He's 30, 40 minutes in. And he points me and Steven out and says, if you guys want to make money, give these guys money. And that was a really cool moment where, wow, you know, the guy who's kind of telling all these investors what's going to work points me and Steven out and says, these guys are the people to give money to go make money for yourself. So that was a really cool moment for us. And yeah, just that was neat.
That's
Another thing
crazy that he was
again,
able that he just did that out of his own kindness of his heart. You didn't know that was going to come?
no, we didn't. I mean, he's just a trend caller, right? So he'll see things that are on the up. And I think we all can kind of feel it that animal-based foods are trending back in, and people are realizing they feel way better,
Yeah.
and it tastes way better. And if you feel better, it tastes better, you should eat it, right?
Yeah.
And so he called his shot. He actually, before we met him, I think he told us 6 months prior, somebody asked him, "Hey, Bill, how would you build a 100 million revenue food business in the next 5 years?" And he told them, without skipping a beat, "I would make chips fried in animal fat. Like, that is the next big thing."
Yeah.
And 6 months later, he met us and was like, "You guys are doing it. Great. Let me know how I can help."
Right.
And it was just one of those, another great example of like competent people in the US, just good people helping you make things happen. And he's been a great partner so far on distribution and getting us on shelf and all that.
Well, even the idea of Cheetos, I mean, Cheetos is just cornmeal. Fritos is cornmeal. If you can just ma and see, that's for me. If you can master the corn, not get bring in the heirloom and then just fry it in tallow, everything else is elementary at that point. And I think that there's such a vacuum there that you're going to get sucked into it. And I love the fact that you guys are already out on the leading edge of this. I saw came across you guys' product. I'm like, hey, I gotta reach out to you guys. And I know it seemed kind of odd that I don't know if it does. I don't know if that's how other people reach out to you, but I was like,
Great.
hey, I gotta get a hold of you guys. So yeah, like Cheez-Its, that's just, little turds of cornmeal that they spray cheese powder on. Well, they say cheese powder.
Cheese product, I think, is the official legal.
What is it called?
Cheese product, I think, is
Cheese
how they.
product. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that sounds completely like it came from a cow.
It's a food almost.
Well, everybody was so afraid of like Velveeta, but Velveeta was just putting the whey back in the cheese to make it malleable, right? So people don't realize that what that is. It's just watery cheese. When we think of cheese whiz and all that other stuff, but then they put all the soybean in there, and then that turns it into crap. It's not what it used to be. A lot of these cheeses and stuff that we used to have were sustainable. I mean, people could live on this stuff. But nowadays, it's just so toxic to you, it just tears you apart. So for you guys, so you got so are you guys talking to any distributors? Are you getting into any of your bigger stores? I mean, what's the, are you
So
wanting to be big or are you wanting to stay regional? How does that work for you
we
guys?
want to be big eventually. I think the mission for us is that if you're American and really a human being, real food should be available, right? Like, it should not be that hard to get real food as an option when you go feed yourself and your family.
Right.
And so there's the right way to build a business where we don't go bankrupt and we actually get to become a big business.
Right.
Our goal definitely is that you walk into your local whatever and we're on shelf there, and that's an option if you want it.
Right. Well,
In the
what
meantime,
about? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going.
in the meantime, though, it's actually really hard to take on big accounts because the way food finance works is, let's say we're in Whole Foods and we're going to do, $10 million a year in Whole Foods, right? It's a huge account for a business of our size. We're going to put They're not going to pay us for maybe 6 months. So when I give them inventory, I'm basically making a loan of my inventory cost for 6 months, right? And that's a rolling loan, right? I never get paid back on. And so to open up a $10 million account, right, it costs you a few million dollars in inventory that you never, net get paid back for. And so when you're Frito-Lay or whoever, you have plenty of capital, it doesn't really matter. You open up everywhere. And that, like, at that scale, distribution is really easy. When you're tiny, I mean, for us, 50K, 10K is a ton of money, right? It's still a business, run by a couple guys and have a few employees. And so we want to get there. But in the meantime, we're starting with smaller local branches and chains. And so, speaking of making this a commercial for myself, which I really appreciate, what we're really excited about is like the mom and pops of the world. So your local, organic, high quality, just they really care about what they put on shelf and what they're selling you. One, those are small businesses we like to support, and it's nice to work with them. But two, because they don't have all the bullying power that a huge buyer like Whole Foods would have, they actually pay you upfront. And so you don't get forced to make a loan and have this like crazy capital outlay, basically. So we have about 100 mom and pops basically nationally that we work with today, and would love to get the number up to 1,000 by the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got, cause I do, cause I speak across the country and I've got a lot of people. I just was sitting here and I like, you know, my mind started spinning and I was like, well, there's Bonnie's right down here in Rose Hill. She does a heck of a business and she's got turned her whole barn into a natural grocer's because she just wanted natural foods and she wanted to be there, you know? So she started doing it. Her husband said, well, here's a spot in the barn if you want to do it. And next thing you know, she took the whole barn over. He had to build his own, he had to build another barn. So, you know, she and so there's cool stories like that where when people are looking for good stuff and you bother to do it right, people will come back loyal. You don't have to borrow or beg or steal or convince them. You know, you just gotta just give them good product. I think it's great what you guys are doing. So for
That's
go
kind
ahead.
of a funny dynamic. So I'm far enough along now where new founders will get connected to me or reach out and ask for advice, which I'm happy to give, you know, happy to jump on a call and chat a little bit.
Right.
But one of the things that people often think you have to do in building a business is kind of tricking everybody. So you trick your investors into thinking you're going to have a great outcome. You trick your customers into thinking your product's great.
Right.
But the trick actually is to just make good stuff, be an honest guy and sell it to people who are understand what they're getting, deliver what you promised.
Yeah.
Tell your investors exactly what you're doing. And if you're delivering real stuff to real people and it's all fair, universe will reward you. Yeah,
Right.
like things work out. So.
No, absolutely, dude. This is what it's, I mean, this is everything. I search these guys, I search you guys out. I have a lot of people that you think, oh, I got this and that, you know, you want them on your show. But obviously, I sought you out to be on my show because I felt that your product was more important than some of the other stuff. There's just things I won't represent here on the show. If I don't believe in it, I won't represent it. That's just real hard for me to get on here and go, yeah, I want you to buy, you know, Pringles because they're great for you. It's like, you know, Pringles have got a place, but you know, I mean, that's just mashed potatoes made into a shape, right? So, but what's so hard about mashed potatoes? You got to put crap in there. I just don't
I
understand.
mean, a lot of these businesses also, you start off with, I mean, my business partner, Steven, is really the visionary behind the ingredient philosophy and making sure the food is all exactly how it should be. But what happens with this stuff is, you know, the children take over, the grandchildren take over, professional MBAs from Harvard take it over, whatever, private equity takes it over. And somewhere down the line, that initial concern for delivering good stuff and doing your job right dies, right? We all have finite lifespans. And so 100 years out, whoever's running the business says, oh, well, if we change out this ingredient, that ingredient will save 3 cents a package. And that's my bonus for the year. So I'm happy. And, you know, before you know it, you end up with all the stuff that started off with good people trying to deliver a good product, you know, just selling absolute trash.
Well, everybody has to make a profit, but at the end of the day, I always said this 1,000 times, that I wish someone would make an Oreo that was just an Oreo. It's cocoa, lard, salt, baking soda, and some sugar. I don't want all the other crap. I just want an Oreo that's an Oreo that I don't when I eat it, because I used to be real sensitive to soybean oil. That's where I found out where all the soybean oil was in all these different products, because it would give me heartburn really bad. And I was just always dealing like, God, I just hate, you know. But you know, imagine just eating a cookie without thinking about, oh, I gotta worry about this or that. The other thing is just if it's an oat milk cookie with raisins, it's oats, raisins, some flour and some sugar. We're done. Out. You know, and here's the other thing, and I haven't seen your packaging directly, I haven't put it in my hand yet.
There
But
it is.
yeah,
Stuff
there you
is
go.
getting out. Let me try to fix the camera.
Oh, because you it's on your Yeah, I like the striping on that, so I appreciate that. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So for me, let's see the ingredients. See how big is the ingredients line on it? How big is it?
Yeah, right there. It's organic corn. I don't know if the camera's focusing,
Yeah,
but
it's
organic
pretty close.
corn,
Yeah.
grass-fed beef tallow, and salt.
Can you make that about 10 times bigger that and make it a point that it's like, hey, here's the god dang ingredients. Ain't nothing in, you know, the ingredients have gotten so small on these packages. You're looking at them like, what? I can't even pronounce the word, much less see this. I mean, anyway, so,
No, I mean it's a big point, and uniform across all of our stuff, obviously. Like we just use real foods that you can pronounce and you know what they are. Nothing from a chemistry lab, nothing invented in the last century. Corn, fat, salt. Our lime seasoning is lime, you know, just real food.
Yeah, and imagine that, just real food. I mean, I don't understand this at all in my life. And now that I found out about glyphosate poisoning, which is the disruptor for the BH4 pathway, which is what causes autism, BH4 disruption, the BH4 pathway disruption is what is autism, the dysfunction of the brain, the cytostorm that goes on in the brain. Well, they're finding direct links to glyphosate, Roundup. And yeah. Glyphosate sits in your pelvis, never leaves. You have to force it out with heavy metal cleansing. And people don't realize it for the rest of your life. As long as you're in this world and you're bothering to go out to a grocery store or to a restaurant, there's probably going to be some stuff in there that you may not want, you know, and you just, you kind of got to get through it. But anyway.
Yeah, I think a big part of that is that Western philosophy thinks poorly. And what I mean by that is we trust science as a method where unless a study has found that there is a damage, we somehow presume that the, you know, everything's fine. There's nothing to worry about here. Mm-hmm. And so time and time again, a great example of this is, forget the name. There's the, morning sickness medication mm-hmm. in the '50s. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
And it was causing birth defects where kids were born with like an extra limb or missing eye or whatever.
Yeah.
And, because they didn't find it early enough, they say, here's novel chemistry. I don't see any problems, and so I assume it's probably fine.
Right.
Because I'm a genius, and if I haven't identified a problem in my 30 days or 90 days or 1 year or whatever research,
yeah.
it's totally safe, which is a crazy way to think.
Yeah.
And so instead of being skeptical of new chemistry and putting new compounds in our bodies, we say, until I find a big problem, forget it, let it rip, and just, you know, drink it all day and whatever. And so we learn time and time again, I'm sure we're going to keep learning this decade, next decade, hopefully not, but I'm sure we will, that you just got to slow down and be really careful about anything that didn't exist 100, 200 years ago.
Yeah. You know?
So yeah, our ingredient list is and always will be just real foods that you know and understand, you know, not tetrachloroquorum, whatever.
Yeah. Well, here, let me give you a little anecdote on that. Insurance companies have driven so many of our decisions in our corporate entities and our decision-making skills of what is the acceptable amount of death?
Yep.
Just like a seatbelt recall on a car. Well, until it reaches a certain percentage of death, they're not going to recall it. Like yeah. if it's not, the safety hazard is it only doesn't cause death and they don't recall it. If it doesn't cause like bodily harm. And so the amount that the sad part of it is even like with these government chemicals that they were telling us to put in our body and some, all this other stuff. And I'm not trying to force you into a box on that, but I'm just saying that, you know, what's the acceptable amount of death? Well, how about zero? How about just put stuff in our bodies that actually caused our bodies to thrive and flourish and heal itself? Just like B17 laterals, the apricot seeds. My buddy, he has the company RNC, Richardson Nutritional Center. He sells the apricot seeds, and they fight the cancer. They go into your body, give your body the torpedoes to go kill cancer. Well, yeah. He isn't curing cancer. Your body is. Well, how can we can't just think that way anymore? Why has it got to be, oh, give me some chemo that Moderna and Monsanto came up with on the special there to give us cancer treatment? Oh, wait, but then Roundup gives us cancer. Wait, that's the manufacturer that makes Roundup is making the cancer. I mean, this is, you see the word, it's just, and they're like, oh, just, it's acceptable. It's fine. You know, don't look the other way. Come on.
And even if you wanted to give the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, it's not coordinated and it's just people trying to make money and independent actors, you see stuff like the Boeing guy, the whistleblower.
Oops. That guy. Oh, I'm sorry. He died? Oh, I was supposed to scare him. Sorry.
It was crazy though, right? Like this guy, we see planes falling out of the sky because Boeing doesn't function as a company anymore because people are being mean as they got fired for saying you need to do your job right.
Yeah.
How you have a whistleblower going, testifying about all the shit going on. People are going to die soon. I hope I'm wrong, but like it's scary that you have to worry about what flight you're on now. And that wasn't a thought 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And then there's this guy testifying. He has his brains blown out in a parking lot. And 2 days later, it's out of the news cycle. No investigation, nothing happening. And that's how things work now.
It's like Seth Rich put two bullets in the back of his head because he had exposed the DNC. Really Hillary side, or is that what you killer side, Hillary eyed, or what do you,
yeah. You see these reports, you know, this guy hit himself in the back of the head with a crowbar 19 times.
Yeah, shot myself in the back of the head with a pistol twice. That is a miracle upon miracles. And he did it in a Washington park, too, Washington, D.C. park, just by himself, wallet, phone, everything's still sitting there. And so they said it was a botched robbery.
Come on. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
Very convenient who gets robbed and when it goes wrong. But
yeah. It's just the math that we live under. So we got to be careful out there, guys. That's why we use code words like government chemicals, right? Because we can't just be honest about things. Hey, man, Seth, great conversation. Great product. Thank you. I haven't even tried it yet, but if you're just doing these two things, you're a million miles of everybody else. So
I appreciate it.
I do. One more time. How do we get a hold of you, or how do we find you?
Yeah, so MasaChips.com, M-A-S-A-C-H-I-P-S, MasaChips.com.
Perfect.
You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, by direct. We're on Amazon now if you want to get us there.
Well, we got to get my promo code before they go buying too much there. You
know. Absolutely, yeah. We'll make sure you get set up with that ASAP. Yeah. We'll get that figured today.
So,
but,
I appreciate it.
And one ask out of the audience, actually.
Yes.
Obviously, definitely appreciate it if you become a customer. Would love to have you try the product. Jim will get you a good affiliate code so you can get a nice discount on first purchase.
Yeah.
We're also really actively looking for mom and pops with really high quality selection. Mm-hmm. And so if you have anybody near you that's your favorite go-to for real food and good food, would love to get a shout out with them and get connected and get on shelf.
I have a friend of mine, Angie Kitchen. She's actually opening up 3 stores in Middle Tennessee right now that deserve this product. And I'm gonna have her take care of that with you. I'll get a hold of you so you guys can work that out. So she's opening up 3 of those, and she's doing it in every county. She wants to start opening up these simple boutique products, and some of it won't even be stocked there. It'll be a QR code that can be shipped to your house. Some stuff they are gonna stock as they build up the inventory and build up money. They're going to do that as well. So, hey, Seth, thank you for everything. I'm going to get you out of here before my clock runs out on the TV show. So I do appreciate everything you're doing. So MasaChips.com, guys out there. Thank you, Seth, for everything you're doing. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Cool. Thanks, Jim. Have a great day.
I'll see you. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Well, what a great interview that was with him, and I do appreciate you guys' comments. I saw all those going through. Thank you so much, Edward, for all your great comments. Rebecca, good to see you. Thank you for being here. Linda, I did see you as well. Curly May up in Canada being part of the show. It's fantastic having you guys here. Saw you, Carrie Heisman, showing up. Claudia, thank you so much for being here. Guys, this is what we're talking about. This is the world we're living in, where we're going to try to do things differently and make the world a better place so that we can live longer and happier. This is what it's all about. It has nothing to do with the government. They don't have to ask a small g government for your breath. You get that from your creator, your God, you know that, right? So understand those things going forward. All right, guys, this has been a great show. It's just how we do it here, and we're going to continue to bring you great products like this so you guys don't die. I don't want you dying on me. I want you guys living long. I do have the Zoom call tonight at 7 p.m. Central. If you guys want to be a part of the Zoom call, get a hold of me. The last Zoom call link that was out, not the one before, but the last one, that's the one we're going to continue to use. If you guys need that Zoom call link for tonight's Zoom call at 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern time, and whatever you West Coast folks are. And I don't know what Canada does for time. I don't even know if they have clocks up there, so the Canucks will have to figure it out. If you guys want that Zoom call to be a part of the Zoom call at 7 o'clock tonight, let me know, and we'll do that as well. $5 donation is recommended. So, guys, thank you so much for being a part of everything. Remember the 10% we do for our neighbor, community, city, county, state, the federal government. The more you do for them, the less it do for you. Learn how to be selfless and not so damn selfish. There will be a far, far better place. Remember, hold the line, hold fast, do not give up, do not give in. We will win, I promise. I'll make promise, can't keep. Guys, you've always been the answer. Remember, the Constitution limits the government, but never limits you. Know your power. Understand your God gives you your breath, not the small g government. That's the last thing on your list of things to worry about every single day. Be great. Be amazing, guys. All right, so cool to see you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Curly May says, she says she's Eastern time. That must be something, some Canadian code for something. I have no idea what that means. I'm just kidding you, Curly. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for everything you guys are doing out there. Let me do it right. All right, guys, I'm Jim Price, Jim Price Show Daily Update. You guys have a good to each other out there, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.